Welcome to the Peak News. I'm Chaim Goldman, the Watchman. You're listening to us on AM 1460 and FM 101.1, The Answer. And yes, we blow the shofar because we need you to wake up. We need you to get involved. And hey, I'm the Watchman, so that's my job, is to warn you about what's going on so that you can take action. But even better yet, to highlight great things that are going on in our region so you can get involved with them. Let's amplify each other. There's, you know, everybody I talk to here that's doing something, what they lament is that it's so hard to get people to join in with what you're doing. We have this combination of, you know, and it's weird because we have such a great region and there's so much good going on here. But the people who are actively doing things, not to a person, but it's an overall vibe out there. If it's not their idea, if it's not their project, they tend to not get involved. We're not playing well together. Maybe that's the best way to say it. We should play well together. You don't have to stop what you're doing, but working with other people is great. And then most of y'all are just doing nothing, like you're passive. From a bigger perspective, I'm not saying you're not running your families, you're not doing good things within your household. I hope you are. If you're not, you gotta pick up on that. That's the big deal. But overall, can you spend some time and some effort? You know, we all waste time. We get on the news feed, social media, you know, watching movies, doing stuff. And meanwhile, we look out at our region and we go, what's going on? We look out at our state and our country and say, what's going on? Well, here's the deal. It's always people. You know, ever since the seventh day of creation, everything that's happened on the earth has come through our hands, people that are either doing things or not doing things. And we know, you know, all it takes for evil to prevail is for good men and women to do nothing. And so if you don't like what's going on, and I hope for the most part you don't, there's great things out there, but for the most part, we don't have a country like I remember 10, 20, 30 years ago. I guess it was falling apart at that point. We didn't realize it. But it's all about the people getting involved in doing something. And you can do something. And that's the whole message of this program really is find out what's going on, be inspired by the people on the program, get angry by the bad news that we bring you, and then decide where you're going to engage. And that's what the Peak is about. You can look at us like a news service, but really we're a scrappy grassroots organization that's trying to get as many people as possible to get in on the action. And we do it from a media standpoint because overall, the media has been lying to us. News out recently from National Public Radio, you know, that they are what we thought, very biased, very insular, and only, reporting some things. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. So at the Peak, we're seeking to do things differently, and we hope that you'll join in with us. Go to thepeak.news, thepeak.news, that's our website. Find out all about us and sign up to be a citizen journalist or an intern, a tech, a guest, or a sponsor. And a shout out to all of our sponsors for keeping us on the air, putting us on the air, especially to Springs Dentist and Dr. Craig Summer, who is my family dentist and a great dentist. And when we first came to town many years ago, we wanted to get the metals out of our teeth in a holistic way. He's a holistic dentist and patronize all of our sponsors. But Springs Dentist came alongside the Peak and said, let's do it, early on a couple years ago when I mentioned I wanted to do this program. So listen to our ads, patronize our sponsors, go on our website, click their links. They're the ones who are really putting it on the air. I just show up every day and talk. Not a little bit more than that, but, you know, without our sponsors, we wouldn't have the airtime. And, of course, a thanks to Salem Media. Now, today is Education and Media Day. We always finish up the week with that. And we have on the program today Aaron Salt, president of District 20 School Board. And we're going to be talking about education in our region. Aaron, welcome to the Peak.
Hey, Chaim. Thanks so much for having me.
It's great to have you here. And we'll say, and Aaron, as a member of the school board, came on and he said, make sure the people know I'm just speaking as a private citizen for myself, not officially representing the school board. Okay, we'll mention that later, but enough said. And we want everybody to have their voice and open, but people, have obligations to things. So we're going to be talking about education again today, about improving academic outcomes, about the library system, and about some controversial stuff that Aaron got himself into in a little bit, so you'll stick around for that. And but overall, again, how can you be involved in the education of everybody in our region. We all have to keep educating ourselves and, of course, the children and making it about the children, the next generation. So is it really about education? Is education been about education? I learned something many years ago, good book I read on education called, I believe, A Thomas Jefferson Education, that you cannot educate another person. You can give opportunities, but we need to educate ourselves. We need to decide that we want to learn something, that we want to change. And so without that attitude, you really can't get educated. You have to make it. So you can't educate another person, just provide the opportunities. But has what we call education, is it really about education, or has it become about so many other things and influencing others, teachers becoming activists rather than educators, you know, the teachers unions and their and what they've been doing for many, many years. I know the school board members that I know here in Colorado Springs, the Pikes Peak region, they want to make it about the children. They want to make it about the education, but it's so hard because over decades and decades and decades, unfortunately, we made it about something else. And so as we think about that, you know, sometimes you're hitting your head up against a wall because there's a wall there, and we need to break that wall down and bring it back to the essentials so that we can then deal with the problem. So we're going to be discussing that on The Peak today. I'm Chaim Goldman, The Watchman. So happy to have you joining us here on Education and Media Day. We're going to be back with the local headlines. Stick around. Furnace not doing so well this winter? Feel like you have icicles in your living room? Call Home Comfort Heating and Air, your local experts, to fix or replace your home furnace to keep you warm now and for many years to come. Hi, this is Chaim Goldman, The Watchman, and our family depends on Home Comfort to service our home's entire HVAC system. They've been providing superior service to both residential and commercial clients since 2008. Get a fast response from their family-owned and operated business with a trusted reputation. Based in the Peyton-Falcon area, they serve all of El Paso, Teller, and Elbert counties. Home Comfort installs and services all types of furnaces and air conditioning systems, as well as whole house air purifiers. For more information and to quickly book an on-site visit and free estimate, go to homecomfortha.com. Mention The Peak and receive 10% off a new heating or AC system of $5,000 or more. That's homecomfortha.com. Home Comfort Heating and Air. They're on a mission to ensure my home comfort and your home comfort all year long.
Introducing BrightStar Auto, your new go-to auto garage in Colorado Springs. With nearly 30 years of master mechanic experience, we're here to keep your car running smoothly. At BrightStar Auto, we promise fair prices and operate with integrity because your satisfaction is our priority. Visit us online at BrightStarAutoLLC.com. That's BrightStarAutoLLC.com. To schedule an appointment today.
Help the Colorado Life Initiative get over the finish line and onto the 2024 ballot to save the lives of thousands of children and end abortion in our state. The final petition return is April 10th in Colorado Springs, and a notary is available. Please grab another petition and a friend for those last signatures to protect our children from intentional harm. We can all get this done if we do our part. You'll find us at Church at Briargate and gotaheart.org. That's gotaheart.org. Because every child deserves a birthday.
Are you worried about the economy ruining your assets? Does your spouse have financial questions you simply can't answer? At FRS Financial Group, we help you plan for a no-fear future. I'm Rick Stevens, one of the founding partners with FRS, and whether you already have an investment portfolio or can only afford to start putting away a little each paycheck, we'll work with you to make your retirement dreams a reality. Contact us at frsfinancialgroup.com for more information. FRS Financial Group, regular people helping regular people. LPL Financial Member FINRA SIPC.
If you're enjoying The Peak, thank our sponsors. And if you're a local business or organization, please become one. Close to 2 million people live in the AM 1460 broadcast area, and those who listen to conservative talk radio are your perfect customers. As a Peak partner, we'll promote your business while you help us provide real journalism to transform our region. Now that we're on the air, our sponsorship opportunities are going fast. So visit thepeak.news website now to discover the benefits of advertising on The Peak. Thank you for your support.
Welcome back to The Peak. I'm Chaim Goldman, The Watchman. You're listening to AM 1460 and FM 101.1, The Answer. And this, as always, second segment, local headlines. Today is Education and Media Day. If you don't know it already, we do Business and Culture on Mondays, Government and Politics on Tuesdays, Faith and Family on Wednesdays, and finish off the week with Education and Media of some combination. We have joining us for the entire program as guest and co-host Aaron Salt, who is the president of the D20, District 20 School Board here in Colorado Springs, and we're going to be talking about education throughout the program. Aaron, welcome again to The Peak.
Thanks, I'm happy to be here.
And again, disclaimer, he's speaking as a private citizen, not for the school board. Okay, so first headline, and this is in the media realm, maybe you heard about this, but the State Assembly happened down in Pueblo on Friday and Saturday, and a reporter by the name of Sandra Fish, who works for the Colorado Sun, which is known to be a very liberal progressive paper, outwardly and admittedly that, and when all of the reporters who wanted to be there got credentialed, she actually was asked to leave by Dave Williams, who is the chair of the Colorado Republican Party. We had Dave on last week talking about stuff. I sort of wish we had had him on this week because a lot of stuff went down at Assembly and before Assembly that I would have liked to ask him. And know that I reached out to Dave about an hour or so ago to ask if he wanted to comment on this. I didn't hear back, but that's reasonable. We didn't give him a lot of time to do it, but I wanted to say that, and we'll see what he might have to say. But I say that we do local news, and sometimes, you know, we do national, but only in as much as it applies back to Colorado Springs. And I say, we only get into the national news when we do something crazy. Well, the Washington Post and just about everybody picked up on this. You had to know that because it's journalism, and journalists, you know, this is the one big advocacy, right? We want access everywhere. Now, what Dave said, this is a quote here, quote, "We make no apologies for kicking out a fake journalist," end quote, Williams said in a text message Monday. Williams added that the Colorado Sun, a nonprofit news outlet founded in 2018, is, quote, "just an extension of the Democrat Party's PR efforts." So that's his feeling about that, and that's why she was asked to leave. She didn't want to go. They had sheriff deputy escort her out. Of course, this became a huge thing. Should journalists be able to cover anything? And as a private organization, you know, do they have the right to put her out? Yes, I believe they do. Should they? We don't know. Aaron, what's your thought on this freedom of the press when it's felt to be quite biased, as you deal with biased press a bunch?
Yeah, we've dealt with that a bunch, or I have. I would say something like this. Once you have someone in and they're credentialed as press, especially for a known publication like the Colorado Sun, so calling her a fake reporter is a little silly. You may not agree with her reporting. That doesn't make her a fake reporter. I've dealt with those where someone sets up a blog, it takes 30 minutes and $50 to set this up, and you say that you're a journalist. That doesn't make you a journalist. Writing for a known publication in the state, you can't say that they're not a journalist. And so if you have other press there, it feels kind of bad for them to try to kick them out.
So what do you think? Do you think that this is something that should have happened, that it's okay to happen? Is it just, it's going to be another, certainly part of the politics of the primaries, it's going to become part of it, and how we get coverage. But I would also say, as journalists, we need to think about how we're perceived also. And this NPR article, which I'm not going to cover so much here, I'll do it for another program when we're specifically focused more on media. But check this out. A person who's worked for National Public Radio for 25 years just wrote an article about saying we lost our way. We have become quite partisan. We are limited in what we're doing. And as journalists, you know, I created in The Peak, and certainly we're on conservative radio, we're outwardly conservative. I personally, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I call myself a leave me alone libertarian. I'm unaffiliated. I like to consider every issue, but overall, I go to the conservative side of things. I like to conserve things. But we did The Peak in such a way where we're covering all of these topics, as I said, so we can't get pigeonholed, and bringing on people who we don't necessarily agree with, you know, on everything. And, you know, we'd love to have those on who can come on and be reasonable and rational and represent the other side. So, of course, in our first few months, and we're finishing up our third month today, we start our fourth month on Monday, is we want to bring on more people that are diverse. I'm seeing that, you know, I called up the people I know and people I've wanted to talk to, but we're going to expand out, especially as you join us and become citizen journalists. We want to get different opinions in here. We want to have civil discourse over that. Okay, second article, House Bill 24-1310, school safety measures, was withdrawn today. Aaron, can you fill us in on that bill and what you think about it? It's withdrawn. It doesn't mean another version ain't coming back soon.
Sure. So we've actually seen quite a few bills come in this session that were really focused on school security. Average probably 100 bills every session deals with education at some level. And so with this being specifically education and security, I know our district and several other districts in our Pikes Peak region have been focused on these and in some similar bills. This one effectively created a whole new industry in training SROs that would have been required by the state. And
SRO is
a school resource officer. Okay. So, you know, the guys who are in the buildings that are really focused on safety and security. Sometimes they're armed, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they come in from the sheriff's department, sometimes they're city police. Different districts handle it differently. D20, we have all internal security that we hire, we train, and we certify them. And so this bill would have restricted that, put some very specific guidelines on it, and like I said, created an entirely new industry to train and certify these SROs, people who are already qualified, already trained. This would have put an additional stipulation certification and would have cost districts a lot of money to have to push their folks through these certifications. So it's an unfunded mandate. It would have created a whole new industry. And so something like this, I was really glad to see that bill sponsor withdrew it, ended up getting killed in committee, I believe. And so again, doesn't mean something else isn't coming later this year, even next session, but for now we can call it a victory.
Okay. Laura Carno from Faster Colorado was here. You people can look back. It's a organization that trains these people. What do you think from a security standpoint? We have a secondary article to go along with this of D11 approving safety and security upgrades throughout their school district. You know, the first thing to make gun-free zones, you know, was schools many, many years ago. And then, you know, how do you protect the children? It just seems so backwards, these measures what are we actually looking for? And is it an ideology more than actually trying to affect safety, in your opinion?
There's two different sides of this in the way that we typically talk about it. One is deterring threats, and the other is responding to active threats. And I know with the D11 specifically, they're going to be bolstering their physical security, which is a deterrence. Anytime you can get media and say, hey, we're doing great security, safety things, it deters people from making bad choices. But this will also be a strong protection for their staff and their schools, because they're building up these vestibules, an enormous investment to really make sure that the entryways are secure. They only let the people in that are authorized to come in. District 20 did this with our bond back that was passed in 2016. So all of our high schools and elementaries have the dual entries now, where you have to kind of scan in twice to be able to get in. And so it provides additional support and safety measures to get people into the building, bulletproof glass and all of that to really help protect in the an event of a problem.
Okay. Well, you're listening to The Peak, and this was local headlines. We ended up focusing on security, which is really, really important. Making a safe environment for the children is the first thing. It's crazy to think about that we have to even think about these things of our children safe inside the schools, but unfortunately we do. When we come back, we're continuing with Aaron Salt, who is the president of the D20 school board, and we're going to be talking about improving academic outcomes. In fact, Aaron is. This is a section of the show where I ask our guests to do an editorial of sorts, a rant if they want, although I don't think Aaron's a little subdued to call it a rant, but we're going to be talking about, you know, the most important thing in education, which is improving the outcomes of it. You're listening to The Peak. We'll be right back.
Have you been to the Gateway Prayer Garden yet? Experience God and discover His purpose for your life at the Gateway Prayer Garden in Colorado Springs. Hi, I'm Audrey Beckett, founder of the garden, inviting you to visit our 25 acres that includes prayer trails right along Fountain Creek Scripture stones telling God's story of redemption from Genesis to Revelation, a 20-foot open cross, a replica of Jesus' empty tomb, and so much more. The garden is open 24/7, and our welcome center is staffed weekdays from 10 to 4. We're located across from Fort Carson at 8035 Bandley Drive in Fountain, Colorado, right off of I-25. We look forward to your visit. For more information, go to gatewayprayergarden.org. The Gateway Prayer Garden, a place to know God and know your purpose.
Our vision is a Kingdom of God revolution in the Rockies through empowering people to change the world. We believe this is best accomplished through building men into leaders. Hello, I'm Dr. Steve Holt, the senior pastor of The Road at Chapel Hills. Join 400 men on Tuesday mornings at 6 a.m. for Bible study and breakfast, and Sunday mornings for our regular worship services. For times and more details, check us out at theroad.org. That's theroad.org.
Revitalize your home with Absolute Best Painting. Celebrating 25 years of excellence in Colorado Springs, we specialize in exterior painting, shielding your home from the elements, boosting property value, and enhancing curb appeal with durable, weather-resistant finishes. Visit AbsoluteBestPaintingInc.com to see our transformative work. Your home deserves the best, so book your project today. Absolute Best Painting Incorporated, where expertise and quality paint a perfect picture.
My dentist saved my life. Not something you hear every day, unless you're talking to one of Dr. Craig Summers' patients at Springs Dentists.
It was really important to me to have a dentist that understood how your teeth and what goes in them affects everything else in your body.
I was experiencing a lot of headaches and just not feeling well. And I did some research and I found that mercury is in the amalgams and in the teeth. And Dr. Summer was very excited to help people get free of these amalgams and the mercury that's in them. I've noticed my health improve almost immediately. And I felt like almost to the point, I remember a few years ago going, you know what? I kind of like going to the dentist.
For holistic general, cosmetic, and restorative dentistry or Invisalign in a stress-free environment, call 719-375-2427. That's 719-375-2427 and springsdentists.com. Springs Dentists, your life, your health, your smile.
Tired of being lied to by, well, just about everyone? Yeah, us too. The media is supposed to inform us with the facts and context, not propaganda. So we're taking it back, locally, where it counts, with your help. The Peak News is a community-focused organization of volunteer citizen journalists, techs, and interns. And we invite you to join the team. As far as we're concerned, the more the merrier. Go to thepeak.news for all the info and to apply. That's thepeak.news. The Peak, it's yours.
Welcome back to The Peak. I'm Chaim Goldman, the Watchman. So happy to have you joining us here on AM 1460 and FM 101.1, The Answer. And if you're with us throughout the day, you hear awesome news talk, but it's all on the national level, except when we, you know, do crazy stuff here in Colorado, it gets in the news. But overall, they're not talking about something as mundane as what's going on in the Colorado Springs school boards, right? So, but that is so important to us that we needed to do a hyper-local news talk show, and that's what The Peak is. And we have with us for the whole hour, Aaron Salt, who's the president of the D20 School Board Academy, right? Yeah, that's the Academy School Board. And we're discussing how to improve education. And I asked Aaron in this segment, we have a commentary segment, what he'd like to talk about. And he said, improving academic outcomes. Aaron Salt.
Thanks, Chaim. So as a school board or school district, our focus is on academic outcomes. Our goal is academic outcomes. And the problem is we end up spending a lot of time talking about things that have nothing to do with student achievement and student growth. We recently brought in a new superintendent, brought in last year, and she has done a phenomenal job of kind of helping us reorient that ship. We've had years of focused on a lot of what, there's a book, Great on Their Behalf, written by A.J. Crable. And he talks about them being adult issues and not focused on the student outcomes. And so one of the things that our superintendent did and our board was able to participate in was an entire book study around results and what helps bring out academic outcomes. And, you know, people talk about iPads or, you know, smart boards and bringing in technology to really help. But what it really comes down to is the best first instruction, really focusing on how you interact with those kids. And so right now, District 20, we're working on another book called Results 2.0. It's written by a guy named Mike Schmoker. And it's been a fascinating read for us to be able to do this book study as a board with our administration and the teachers and seeing this start to play out in the schools themselves. It talks about best first instruction and literacy, and that when you talk about literacy, it's not just reading. It's not just writing. It's a combination. When you go into science, it's not just about science, but it's about reading about science and writing about science, having small group discussions about science. When you talk about social studies, it's not just reading the history, but it's also about writing essays about it, dialoguing about it, small group discussions about it. And that's how we as, you know, humans are able to bring that information in. The best way to learn something is to teach it to someone else. And so for our students to be able to have the opportunity to really engage in these small group discussions, and you're seeing this start to get brought in. I know at my kids' school, they were just talking about ways to do this. And you start seeing these shifts in from just lecturing in front of a class to really engaging the students and bringing that around. And the other side of this is we're really focused on a culture of accountability. Culture is a big piece to the whole puzzle. And what I'm really excited about, and one of the things that our board is focused on when we talk about academic outcomes, is making sure that we have a culture of accountability. And I know we'll talk about the books and the book votes here shortly, but all of this comes down to making sure that we have the right policies in place, that we're following the policies, and that we're holding everyone accountable within the district to their job to educate and inform students, and making sure that they are actually absorbing the material, talking about the material. And I know this doesn't excite everybody nearly as much as it does me, but, you know, this is why we're here as a school district. This is what we need to be focused on. And too often school boards, they end up playing whack-a-mole with things that aren't related to student outcomes. They aren't related to student achievement. And so for our board and our administration to be unified in creating this culture that is singularly focused on making sure that our students are the best possible product they can be when they graduate from our district, it's a really exciting endeavor for us.
What have you been mostly focused on? I know people come in, you know, after an election with specific, we have about 30 seconds. What are the things that are your issues that you've been working on?
My biggest issues have really been on student outcomes, and we've been diving deep into test scores and trying to figure out ways that we can spend more time in the board talking about growth and scores and achievement and how students are doing. We've implemented PLCs over the last couple of years and dedicated time to PLCs. It's a whole different conversation.
What's PLC?
It's a professional learning community. It's okay. Where, you know, first grade teams talk about their first grade students.
Okay. I'm Chaim Goldman, The Watchman. You're listening to The Peak on AM 1460 and FM 101.1. The Answer. Coming up after the short national news break, we'll be continuing our talk with Aaron Salt, president of D20 School Board, about education in our region and, oh, those books. Those books. We'll be right back.
Have you heard of Church Voter Guides? I'm Chaim Goldman, The Watchman. 3 years ago, I helped found Church Voter Guides to educate Christians about local candidates and to activate the church. Our guides are nonpartisan and 501c3 compliant, so they can be promoted through churches. We simply survey the candidates and publish their answers. As a grassroots organization based in the Springs, we greatly appreciate your help in producing local voter guides for this crucial election year. Go to churchvoterguides.org to get involved and to donate. That's churchvoterguides.org, because together we win.
The Peak Citizen Journalist and Internship Programs help hardworking, talented local folks break into broadcast media. How cool is that? At The Peak, we don't just provide opportunity, but also training toward a career path for those committed to professional-level truth-telling. So don't just listen to The Peak. Help make it happen by raising up an army of integrist journalists. Donate to our programs at thepeak.news website. Real journalism is hard to find. Let's change that together. Donate now at thepeak.news, and thank you for your generous support.
Welcome back to The Peak. I'm Chaim Goldman, The Watchman, and you're joining us on AM 1460 and FM 101.1 The Answer for Education and Media Day here covering the Pikes Peak region. We have as our guest Aaron Salt, president of the D20 School Board, Academy School Board here in the Springs. As well, he is on the Pikes Peak Library District Board of Trustees. And disclaimer, he's speaking as a private citizen, not for the school board. So that frees him up to say whatever he wants. Okay, Aaron, welcome to the Peak again.
Thanks, Haim.
So how did you end up on the school board? Like, give us your backstory here that ended up this crazy thing of running for school board a few years ago.
Sure. So education has always been something that I've been passionate about. I went to school for social work and kind of got indoctrinated, or if you will, on the whole education thing. Once we got to the Springs, I had the opportunity to help start a charter school. And so I got involved in that. We got it up and running. It's New Summit Charter here in right across from Rampart High School, north side of town. Sat there as the chair for 3.5 years before I moved up to the District 20 School Board. So education has been something that I've been passionate about. I've been advocating for, you know, pro parental rights and pro school choice up at Denver for years, and have really just been here on the school board now for 2 years and just took over as president last November.
That's really cool. How did you get to be president?
I sweet talked everybody else into voting for me.
Or they didn't want it, right?
They all took a step back at the line.
So what's it like? I mean, you know, school boards around the country have been very controversial, taking a lot of heat. You know, have you been overall, of course, there are issues, but overall, how is it at a D20 school board meeting?
It depends on the day. We have extremely, the joke that I like to make is when I was coming up, I said, you know, the number one predictor of academic success is parental involvement. And I had people who would come up to me and say, how are you going to get parents involved? Mission accomplished. We have parents across the district involved and come to school board meetings and paying attention to every email and everything that we say from the dais. So,
okay. And do you see, I mean, we hear this is sort of the rise of the mama bears, that now, you know, children are being so impacted by the state on so many levels. Is it the moms who are coming out more, or are you getting the dads out too?
We have a combination of both. Definitely more moms than dads, but we have quite a few dads that come on a regular basis as well.
Okay, and what are the biggest issues that get people out? When is the room packed?
Books are the most recent thing, but you know, we've had a couple issues here and there, but books, I would say, by far packs the house.
Okay, so let's get into that. There was some controversy a couple of weeks ago in considering whether to not ban, but to review certain books to see whether they should be banned. And I want you to explain the level at which the school board has control over those things. But it was decided by a 3-2 vote to not review. Specifically, there's a book called This Book is Gay, which you can look it up. It's very controversial. And how anybody thinks this is appropriate for children. I believe even the author of the book has said this is not appropriate for elementary school. But we know that these things get pushed. But you took a lot of heat because you voted to not review. And we had you on during the headline segment that week, and you gave some response, but wanted to give you more of a chance to vocalize, you know, how difficult was this decision for you and why did you vote like you did?
Thank you so much. So first, I just want to clarify, this was not to ban a book. It was just to remove it from a public school library, which is very different from banning. It's still available at the public libraries, and I serve there. This was an extremely difficult decision. I'm a Christian. I am a conservative, and I have a strong, you know, use the Bible to guide my worldview. And so to have something like this presented was a very difficult decision for me. But what we looked at, and to be clear, this book, when it came up, the way our policy is written is that the board has to vote on whether or not it's going to hear an appeal, and then it would hear the appeal on whether it should stay or it should go. And so what we did is, at the pass, we just said, we're not going to talk about this book. I'll talk a little bit about that in a second, but we just voted not to hear the appeal at all and just cut it off at the first part. Part of that is we want to stay focused on academic outcomes, and this book is not going to make or break any student's academic success, number one. Going into the actual thought process behind this book, one of the biggest the things that you'll hear when you listen, if you go back and watch any of the board meetings, is that the First Amendment does not cover obscene material. This book is obscene, therefore this book is not covered under First Amendment protections. However, it doesn't rise to the level of obscenity that would not offer First Amendment protection. And we have legal counsel, and not just within the district, but from other legal counsels and precedents. Actually, when people tell me, hey, this book is, you know, kicked out of Florida, Florida's doing all of these wonderful things under DeSantis. But if you look, this book is actually in high schools in Florida. And this challenge for us came at the high school level. It's not in the middle schools. It's not in the elementary schools. And so this challenge came at the high school level. And so knowing that we have legal precedent saying that this book does not reach the level of obscenity means that it still has some protections under the First Amendment. My concern is that if we pull this book out now and we get overturned in a legal battle, that book comes right back. And we've spent a lot of time, we've spent a lot of money, taxpayer dollars that could have gone into classrooms to actually meet the ends that we're trying to accomplish. And we end up in the exact same place that we were before. And that's a really tough kind of pill to swallow. And that's kind of where it kind of balances out is, you know, I don't know if you've seen this book, the cover speaks for itself. Nobody's going to accidentally pull this book off the shelf and be surprised by the material that's in the book. And the reality is, if somebody's looking for this material, they have it available in their pocket with their phones. And so this book doesn't make or break that.
Yeah. So is there anything, just briefly, because we're going to get on, you know, that we can do about having books like this? What can be done?
So our district actually provides a lot of opportunity for parents to control. They can write off and say, my kids don't want, you know, I don't want my kids reading these books. You can create lists and say, my kids can check out these books, not those books. So there's a lot of parental controls. You can even go in and see what your students have checked out from the library. Number one. Number two, we actually have policy. And so part of this decision was not to yank it out, because due to Supreme Court decisions, we would be in a lot of legal trouble for that. But the Supreme Court decision also says if this is done through policy, then it's good to go. And so we have policies that are implemented across the board, not specific to sections or content, but just general policies about what books are allowed and what books aren't allowed for a school, public school library. And so
but that's a state. That's a state level.
No, this is just at our
at your level.
This is okay. Our level. And so we have policies in place that help dictate how that is. Again, I talked earlier about accountability. Those policies weren't being followed previously, and they are now, because okay. We are pushing this accountability.
Okay, got to move on. What are some of the biggest challenges that you're seeing in educating our children in the public system?
A lot of it is what people think you can control and things that you can't control. You know, going back to the book thing, could I pull the book off the shelf and take it out? I could. Is that the right thing to do? No, because it's going to cause bigger problems in the future. The other side of this is to know what is going on in every single classroom, in every single school in this district. We have 40 schools. That's a really impossible task. And so you get separation from the board to the superintendent, to the admin, to the building leaders, to the teachers themselves. And so that's why that policy and accountability is so important, is because that's how we're able to manage and make sure that we have the proper instruction going on and that we're focused on the right things. And so those are kind of the biggest challenges that we're seeing right now.
Okay. How do we get more people involved in this, in the system, and helping? And so it's not just falling on the elected officials to deal with it.
So there's a lot of partnerships that can be done. And, you know, we have committees that come up all the time. We are wrapping up tomorrow. We had a textbook review. And so anyone in the community could come and review these textbooks. There's lots of opportunities. You can go to our website, asd20.org, and see what opportunities are coming up. We'll have committees to review different things. You can always get involved at your own kid's school with their student or school accountability committee, or the SAC. That feeds into the district accountability committee. We have a parent sounding board. We have a patrons group, which is for our retired 65 and older community members. And so it's not just for people who have kids in schools, that our district is listening and really pooling everyone in our community to be involved in what's going on in the district. And so if you just reach out online, or, you know, talk to someone at the central office, there's lots of opportunities for pretty much everyone in this community to get involved. And I'm just speaking for District 20. I know some of the other districts here have similar structures. You know, DACs are required. That's that District Accountability Committee. And so each of these districts have opportunities like that. Just reach out.
Okay. Well, and I know, you know, people that have children in the school system, they tend to be the most involved. But remember, this is the generation that's going to grow up and presumably run things. We need to be concerned. And even homeschoolers, and my family is homeschooler, these are the children that our children are going to be in a society with. So we need to be involved in this. And by the way, if you don't even like children or care about that, so much tax money is being spent on this, that you should just get involved for the fiscal reasons. We have about a minute left. I know graduation's coming up, and you just wanted to say a word, you know, to those who are graduating and to the teachers, you know, as we're heading toward the end of the school season.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So Teacher Appreciation Week, May 6th through the 10th, that Monday through Friday, if you see your teacher, say hey to them, thank them, gift cards, Starbucks, every teacher loves coffee, right? So coffee and chocolate go a long ways. So I just want to say thank you to all the teachers out there. And then again, graduations are coming up. It's my favorite time of year. This is the penultimate kind of pinnacle of everyone's educational careers, to successfully launch them out of their K-12 education into whatever comes afterwards. And so graduation season is coming up. Congratulations to all of our seniors. Go out there and make us proud.
Okay. Well, you've been listening to Aaron Salt, who is the president of the D20 School District right here in the Springs. And when we come back, because Aaron is also on the Pikes Peak Library District Board of Trustees, we're going to be talking about libraries. And I don't know if you've been in a library recently, but as Aaron said to me, it's not your father's library or your parents' library. There's so much going on in there that you can tap into. Really amazing stuff that's included. It's paid for. There's sometimes some fees and things like that. But overall, an amazing place that libraries have become. So when we're back in a moment, we'll have Aaron talking about libraries and also, of course, Jim Miller and the Peak Grants. You're listening to The Peak, and we'll be right back.
If your mouth could talk, what do you think it would say? Whoa. My mouth can talk. It's doing it right now. I know, but I mean, what if your mouth could tell your brain what's up instead of your brain always calling the shots? For example, your mouth might say that silver filling you got when you were 12 might be making you sick. But no, your mouth just keeps itself shut. That's why it's so important to find a holistic dentist who understands that your oral health impacts your overall well-being. If you have old metal fillings and you're concerned about mercury possibly causing serious health issues, you should meet Dr. Craig Summer at Springs Dentists. For holistic general, cosmetic, and restorative dentistry or Invisalign, call 719-375-2427. That's 719-375-2427 and springsdentists.com. Springs Dentists, your life, your health, your smile. You do know you're kind of talking to yourself, right?
Full Armor Sports Teams has a new facility for after-school youth programs. It's located at 2380 Montebello near North Academy and Union, with two pools for swim lessons and swim teams, a weight room for powerlifting, conditioning, and more. Full Armor Sports Teams is a Christ-centered and family-oriented organization bringing the youth of Colorado Springs together. For more info on after-school and homeschool programs, go to fullarmorsportsteams.com or call 719-629-SWIM.
Let us do the dangerous stuff, or just the items on your wife's honey-do list. Hi, I'm Peter Larson, owner and chief electrician at All Star Electric. For whole house surge protection to generator connections, to simply adding an outlet and everything in between, All Star Electric is a veteran-owned family business serving the Pikes Peak region with residential and commercial service since 2006. We also specialize in large appliance repair and electrical issues others can't figure out. Google All Star Electric Colorado Springs now and let us be your light in the dark.
Furnace not doing so well this winter? Feel like you have icicles in your living room? Call Home Comfort Heating and Air, your local experts, to fix or replace your home furnace to keep you warm now and for many years to come. Hi, this is Chaim Goldman, the Watchman, and our family depends on Home Comfort to service our home's entire HVAC system. They've been providing superior service to both residential and commercial clients since 2008. Get a fast response from their family-owned and operated business with a trusted reputation. Based in the Peyton Falcon area, they serve all of El Paso, Teller, and Elbert counties. Home Comfort installs and services all types of furnaces and air conditioning systems, as well as whole house air purifiers. For more information and to quickly book an on-site visit and free estimate, go to homecomfortha.com. Mention The Peak and receive 10% off a new heating or AC system of $5,000 or more. That's homecomfortha.com. Home Comfort Heating and Air. They're on a mission to ensure my home comfort and your home comfort all year long.
Welcome back to The Peak. I'm Chaim Goldman, The Watchman. You're here on Education and Media Day, spending the hour with Aaron Salt, who is the president of the D20 School Board here in Colorado Springs, as well as on the Board of Trustees of the Pikes Peak Library District. And we're finishing up this final segment with Aaron, then we'll get to Jim Miller. He's got some things to say about education also. But Aaron, being on the Board of Trustees of the Library District, wanted to talk about, you know, that the libraries right now, it's not your father's library. And if you haven't been in one recently, or maybe you just went in for one thing, but you didn't look around, Aaron, what's going on? Libraries have become these real community centers now in a lot of ways.
They have. And it's been a really exciting thing for me to be on the Library District Board, just to understand what all we have. So 21C, Library 21C, it's up here off of Chapel Hills Drive. I actually used to run my business basically from there. Anytime I needed to meet with any clients or potential clients, they got meeting spaces that you could go into. Several of our library branches have maker spaces. So 21C has a studio. It has a whole video studio, green screen. I went and did recordings of commercials and all sorts of stuff that you could do. And it's all, what we say is, no fee to use in those spaces because your tax dollars are already paying for all of this. One of our branches, Sand Creek, has an entire music studio set up. You could produce a professional album or radio show right from the library branch. But we also have 3D printers and all sorts of makers things that you can do. We have a partnership with Manitou Art Center where they have woodworking and metalworking.
Really?
It's an incredible opportunity that you have. We also have teen spaces where they can go in and play video games and hang out after school. I'll tell you, the one over off of Rockrimmon, the Rockrimmon branch, they have so many after-school programs to work with the Eagle View Middle School that's right down the road. And so they have all these teenagers that come over right after school, and they become this hub for connection and being able to you know, homework, video games, obviously, you know, and those types of being able to connect, research. They can work with the librarians to any papers that they need. And so it's been the thing that I like about the library district and how we've kind of structured this across the county is being able to be sort of a central space and resource for our community members, no matter what they're trying to do, whether it's nonprofits, business, students, research, we have it all covered.
Well, so every library has a little bit of a different vibe as far as what they specialize in?
Everyone's a little bit different. Our big branches have more to offer. East, 21C, Penrose, those are kind of the three big ones. Lots of opportunities there. And then some of the smaller branches, they may have bits and pieces of it, but our goal is to have something there. But each branch is very unique in kind of the vibe, the feel that you work that when you walk in. And the staff is incredibly friendly, and they are very proud of the branch that they work in. And so if you have any questions about what's unique about their branch, just ask them, and they'll be happy to share.
Okay, and go on the websites and find out. It's something that you need that you thought you couldn't access, and it's right there accessible to you. So we got about a minute left. What is the Board of Trustees working on as far as new initiatives?
Yeah, so one of the biggest things that we're doing right now is we spent some time last year working on safety and security, kind of a theme for the show, I guess. And so Penrose was closed for about 3 months. We just got it back open. We've changed the way that the main floor is laid out so there's not blind spots. We had an issue last year with meth contamination, and we got that. We took a lucky star off of that one, but so we've restructured the way the floor is done. We've lowered shelves. It's a whole new feel in there. It feels way more open, but having that safety and security, and that's a focus that we're taking on across the entire district.
Okay, anything else?
Come and check us out. We have resources. One of my favorite things that we have, my kid uses it all the time, not me. It's a little like an MP3 player that fits in his pocket with audiobooks on. It's called a Playaway. And so you supply a battery and headphones, and you're good to go.
Yeah, my 11-year-old is loving that. So are those individual books, like they're already pre-programmed?
They are pre-programmed.
So each one is an audiobook.
Yep.
Yeah, my son's walking around with headphones on. I'm like, what are you listening to? And he tells me it's a book. And I figure I trust him on that one. But the video games there, I know my children have been hanging out at libraries. I didn't know about the video games, so I really have to check into that. Anyway, Aaron Salt, thank you so much for being on The Peak today. Now, The Peak Rants with just a guy, Jim Miller, talking about trade schools.
I'm Jim Miller. I ran for mayor. I'm just a guy. And this is The Peak Rants. So, I'm getting a little bit older. I'm, 43 this year, I believe. Anyways, I'm from a whole different era and decade of things. When I was growing up and things, it was a lot rougher back then, a lot grittier, a lot more fist fighting, a lot more grossness, dirt on the ground and everything. But There was this whole part where they were talking about how people, why people did dumb things, why people weren't intelligent, how come people just come up subpar. So they used to say people just didn't know. They didn't have access to information, knowledge, any of this stuff. There was just nothing. I mean, we're pretty spoiled nowadays. We have the internet. It's pretty nice, pretty easy. You just look up something. You just Google it. You can be like, oh, I'm going to use the Google real quick. I'm going to type on the Google. You can look up anything, everything. They used to say the information wasn't available. People come up subpar. They don't know how to do it. You used to have to apprentice to do and learn anything. You'd be apprenticing sweeping floors for like a year before someone let you touch a wrench or weld something. But that information was earned. There was value to it because you had to sacrifice, take some time, do some stuff, do a lot of bit work, if you will. A lot of grunting and groaning and being like, man, I do not want to be bringing lunch in for everybody, sweeping floors and cleaning crappers. But you had to do it to learn the information, so it had value to you. Nowadays, there's no value to any of the information and knowledge. It's all so much all the time. Internet, easily accessible. Type something in. You know, why is the sky blue? It'll sit there and tell you a whole freaking thing why the sky is blue. Why is some of the ocean blue? Why is some of it green? Why some of it got more salt in it? What's with the current? You don't have to learn any of this stuff or study it or seek the knowledge or try to acquire any of it. So the modern age, with all the information available that's in your pocket with your smartphone, your little smarty phone thing going on, the information has no value. You didn't have to earn it. There was no sacrifice for it. What'd you have to do? Sign up for a phone plan? Oh, I got a phone plan. I have a phone. Now I can find everything I need to know. No, it's just there's no value to it. So I think that's my theory of why people are still pretty dumb as a whole, a lot of times doing dumb stuff when they have all the information, the culmination of all human information in their pocket. It's not earned, so there's no value to any of the knowledge no more. Remember, if we want it better, we gotta be better. I'm Jim Miller, I'm just a guy, and you're listening to The Peak on AM 1460 and FM 101.1, The Answer. We'll be right back.
Revitalize your home with Absolute Best Painting. Celebrating 25 years of excellence in Colorado Springs, we specialize in exterior painting. Shielding your home from the elements, boosting property value, and enhancing curb appeal with durable, weather-resistant finishes. Visit AbsoluteBestPaintingInc.com to see our transformative work. Your home deserves the best, so book your project today. Absolute Best Painting Incorporated, where expertise and quality paint a perfect picture.
Our vision is a Kingdom of God revolution in the Rockies through empowering people to change the world. We believe this is best accomplished through building men into leaders. Hello, I'm Dr. Steve Holt, the senior pastor of The Road at Chapel Hills. Join 400 men on Tuesday mornings at 6 a.m. for Bible study and breakfast, and Sunday mornings for our regular worship services. For times and more details, check us out at theroad.org. That's theroad.org.
Have you been to the Gateway Prayer Garden yet? Experience God and discover His purpose for your life at the Gateway Prayer Garden in Colorado Springs. Hi, I'm Audrey Beckett, founder of the garden, inviting you to visit our 25 acres that includes prayer trails right along Fountain Creek, scripture stones telling God's story of redemption from Genesis to Revelation, a 20-foot open cross, a replica of Jesus' empty tomb, and so much more. The garden is open 24/7, and our welcome center is staffed weekdays from 10 to 4. We're located across from Fort Carson at 8035 Bandley Drive in Fountain, Colorado, right off of I-25. We look forward to your visit. For more information, go to gatewayprayergarden.org. The Gateway Prayer Garden, a place to know God and know your purpose.
Introducing BrightStar Auto, your new go-to auto garage in Colorado Springs. With nearly 30 years of master mechanic experience, we're here to keep your car running smoothly. At BrightStar Auto, we promise fair prices and operate with integrity because your satisfaction is our priority. Visit us online at BrightStarAutoLLC.com. That's BrightStarAutoLLC.com to schedule an appointment today.
Help the Colorado Life Initiative get over the finish line and onto the 2024 ballot to save the lives of thousands of children and end abortion in our state. The final petition return is April 10th in Colorado Springs, and a notary is available. Please grab another petition and a friend for those last signatures to protect our children from intentional harm. We can all get this done if we do our part. You'll find us at Church at Briargate and gotaheart.org. That's gotaheart.org. Because every child deserves a birthday.
Thank you for joining us on The Peak News as we finish our third month on the air. So exciting and happy to have you as a listener. And I know that at least one of my children is listening. My son, Zach, he wrote, "Don't worry, we don't play the video games at the library." He sent me a text at the break about that. So, Zach, thanks for listening to the program. Appreciate that. Hey, we want you to be a citizen journalist. We really, really do. Those of you who've signed up, you know, we've been trying to organize it and put it together, but we're finally, you know, getting organized. We're going to have citizen journalist orientation on a Zoom call next week, Wednesday, April 7th in the evening. So if you're interested in this, of telling your stories, we're serious about this, go on thepeak.news. That's thepeak.news. Look under citizen journalism, find out about it, and sign up on the contact sheet so we know to reach out to you about the orientation. Well, here on The Peak, we air Monday through Thursday, so we'll be back on Monday. Fridays at 3 p.m., we have Dirk Hobbs and the Business Digest Weekly, so tune in for that here on The Answer at 3 p.m. tomorrow. Business and Culture Monday, we have a special program commemorating 3 months of The Peak, and we're going to have Peak crew members Jim Miller, Just a Guy, and our intern James Fiddler talking about what it's been like over the past 3 months putting out this crazy grassroots program. And then on Government and Politics Tuesday, we have Woodland Park City Councilman Robert Zuluaga. Well, that's it for us. The Officer Tatum Show is coming up next here on The Answer. We'll see you live on Monday. Until then, check out our first 3 months of podcasts on thepeak.news. The Peak, it's yours for such a time as this. Shalom.